If you have your Bibles, the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, give honor to Pastor and give honor to my wife and my family. We're so glad to be here. Looking forward to what God's going to do this week. Amen. I've never preached this before. Help me, Holy Ghost. It came to me this week. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9 through verse number 18. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. Someone say Patmos. For the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, at Ephesus, Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlestick, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were like white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto brass, as if it had been burned into a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Isn't that powerful? The God that you serve right there, that's what he looks like. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to preach to you from the subject this morning, only in Patmos. Only in Patmos you may be seated. Lord Jesus, have your way. You look at the life of the Revelator John, you find one of the most amazing people that ever lived. He had such a unique relationship with God that I believe all of us would probably be envious of. He was one of the sons of thunder, as you know, and he was called by Jesus to change the world. He, first of all, gets to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years every single day with the other 11 disciples. But not just that. He's one of the top three favorites of Jesus. And so when Jesus would go further and leave the other 9 behind, he would choose Peter, James, and John. And they would get to go with him and see things the other disciples did not get to see. They got to go to the Mount of Transfiguration and hear the voice from on high. They got to see things that no one else got to see and hear things that no one else got to hear. It was John who laid his head on Jesus' chest. That's how close the relationship with the Lord. He had such a unique connection to the heartbeat of God. I wish that I could get that relationship where my head was constantly hearing the heartbeat of the Lord. He was right next to his heart all the time. He was very connected to God. It was John who went to the cross and watched him while the other disciples ran away. It was John that stood there till the end. It was John that raced and beat Peter to the tomb because he could not wait to get a hold of God. By the way, John's name means grace, and Peter could not run him to the tomb. You'll never outrun the grace of God. You will never be able to get as fast as the grace of God in your life. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong in your life. Grace will always be there. Can I get a witness from somebody that's had some grace in their life? It doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, how much you've suffered. The grace of God is amazing. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I am thankful that I serve a God that loves me when I'm up, but he loves me when I'm down, and he takes care of me no matter what I'm going through. His grace is sufficient. Does anybody understand what that means right there? No matter what you're in right now, he's got a grace that will take care of it. In his weakness, your strength is made perfect. There's nothing like the grace of God. John was walking with him. You have to walk with God to get the grace of God. That's amazing to me. And John had a relationship that nobody had. He had revelations that nobody had. The first words out of his mouth himself in the book of John. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was John that had a revelation of not just the present state with God, but God gave him visions of the past to see how it was in heaven. That's amazing to me, that you can have a relationship with God, that he reveals things about his past to you. And John had this walk with God, and we look at him, he's called Beloved, the love of the Lord, and we think that John had this cakewalk life with God, because some people view the ministry as cakewalk life with God, because everything he did seemed to be blessed. But then you read after Jesus goes to heaven, and then the life starts to change, because in the book of Acts, John is completely forgotten. He's only mentioned in one miracle, and that's when Peter raised up the lame man. John is ignored. Even in the days of Paul, Paul is the baddest preacher in the world, and John is forgotten, and John is forsaken. And then Peter dies, and James dies, and Andrew dies, and Bartholomew dies, and one by one, every single apostle dies, and Paul dies, and Barnabas dies, and Silas dies, and they're all dead. And here's the old John, and he's still alive, and you have to wonder, why in the world does God make somebody suffer watching people close to them fall off left and right? Why does somebody have to endure death's unbelievable? Every person he counted on is in the grave. His family members are gone. John is an old man now, and now he's the most hated man in the world, because he's the Lone Ranger. He's standing up for God when no one else is standing up for God. Everybody that could support him, if he was discouraged, he could go to church on Sunday morning, but there'd be nobody there. It's John by himself. He's alone. He's the revelator. And all he has is a relationship with a God who let everybody around him die. Can I preach to you that sometimes you're in the will of God, even though others don't go as far as you do? And sometimes you're in the will of God, even though God takes people from you. And sometimes you're in the will of God when people leave the church and don't come back, and you leave, you're hanging by yourself. You're still in the will of God. I don't know who that's for right now, but keep going and keep enduring what you're enduring, because God has plans when he makes you suffer a while. John is now an old man. He's written the book of John. He's written 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And he's an old man, according to the writer Tertullian. He is now taken into custody and boiled, put into a hot vat of oil, because they were trying to kill him for the ministry's sake. And according to what Tertullian wrote, when they pulled him out of the oil, nothing happened to his skin. Nothing happened to his body. My word, a boiling pot of oil, and they dipped him in it. But the grace of God endures the hottest of things. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to put you through. Grace is always going to bring you out. And John is put in the oil, and they bring him out, and they couldn't do anything to him. And so they said, fine, we will exile you. And they banished him to a place called Patmos. They exiled him. Patmos is 35 square miles wide. Patmos means my killing, the place where my flesh goes to die. And God, he sent John. You got to understand what Patmos is. It's not some island where you go in the Caribbean on a vacation. Patmos is worse than Alcatraz. Every murderer, every sick, sadistic person that was arrested was sent to Patmos. There are no guards at Patmos. There are no protection at Patmos. You were sent there in the middle of nowhere. You could not get out. If you got out, you drowned. Patmos is in the middle of nowhere, where the worst of the worst criminals have been dispatched. And the enemy said, we know how to get rid of the preacher. We know how to get rid of the grace of God. We'll isolate that grace. We'll send him to a place where nobody can hear him and nobody can see him. And he's with murderers and thieves and everything possible. And he's sitting on the island of Patmos. Somebody needs to hear me right now, that sometimes you're still in the will of God when you have been banished by people that you love and disconnected from people. And sometimes you're in the wrong environment, and you go to work and you're the only one that lives for God there. And you feel like, I wish I could just get away from this job and find me a place where I had people that would support me and be a strength to me, not a distraction to me. But just because you don't have that strength does not mean you quit right now and you give up right now, because sometimes you have to go to a darkness to understand your purpose. And you'll never get your purpose. You'll never get your purpose if you don't understand that sometimes God sends you to isolation where you feel like nobody cares and nobody sees me and nobody knows what I'm going through. But the Lord is setting you up the entire time for a testimony of Jesus. And John had to go through hell to get to a place where God can finally reach down to him. Isolated, exiled, banished to a place of my killing. This is the worst of the worst. It can't get any worse. I've been through the boiling water. I've been banished by everybody. No one loves me. All the fellow preachers are dead. There's no one to text me and encourage me. And here I am. Why am I here? He said I was there for a testimony of Jesus Christ. That means I was sent there to suffer. I was banished by the authority. But here, you gotta, can you put up for me again Revelation 1, verse number 9. I saw something this week. That's why that this message began to be conceived in my brain. He was sent there to suffer for the Lord. But as he gets there, he understands something very powerful. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 9, he says this, that when he was there in the island of Patmos, he was there for the word of God. And it hit me. Sometimes you got to go through stuff to simply get a word. Oh, not for a week or two, not for even a year, but decades had gone by since Peter had died. Decades had gone by since Jesus had died. And everybody's dead around him. And he's suffered. And he's been sent to a place of exile with prisoners. And he's been sent there for one purpose from God, to get a word from the Lord. And yet somehow people come to church on Sunday, haven't prayed one week, and they come to the house of God. And if the preacher don't give them a word for what they're going through, they get mad and leave church when God made the most famous one he loved make wait 50, 60, 70 years to hear one word from the Lord. I wish I could preach it. Some people supposedly hear from God every day. They get a word and they never suffer and they never go through anything. But the most beloved apostle to receive one word from God had to endure nightmare after nightmare after nightmare. Can I preach to somebody in a nightmare right now that while you're going through it, it's always a setup for a word. A real word from God always occurs when you've endured something that you did not want to endure. Sometimes you have to earn a word from God that you never thought you'd have to endure. And John had to suffer and suffer. And he said, I realized the reason I suffered was because he was going to give me a word. Oh, preacher, give me my word. Preacher, give me my word. What that tells me? Preacher, you go to Patmos. Preacher, you suffer. Preacher, you deal with the stuff I don't want to deal with. You get up 5 o'clock in the morning and pray. You deal with the demons attacking my house. You pray over my family. I'm going to do my own thing and then show up and hopefully I can hear you from Patmos. I'll be at the other island across the way while everything's leisurely and going good, saying, come on, preacher, yell out from Patmos. Can you get my attention now? Yell out from Patmos, preacher. What's the Lord saying? You don't believe me? Just ask Moses when he went to the mountain. Anybody could have gone there. But they said, no, we're not going with you. You're going to go see the Lord face to face. You go see. In fact, when he came down from seeing God, his face was so bright, they put a veil over his face. Because when you've had a real encounter with God, people can see the difference in you. And they said, we don't want any of that stuff. We'll build our golden calf down here. And we'll worship and have fun while you're not around. Then when you come into town, we'll act like we love God. And we're going to get back right. I wish I had somebody that wasn't just waiting on pastor to hear from God. But if I've got to go through hell and go through the fire and go through the flood, then let me go through it so I can get a word from the Lord that will change my family. Suffered. And now he's out in Patmos and he said, I was there for the word of God. He said, I know something about the Lord. The more you suffer, the more likely a word's coming. I'm old. And he said, I got something. I know one thing about walking with Jesus. You go through something, a word's on its way. You go through hell, a word must be on its way. People exile you, a word must be on its way. People start dying in your family, you don't understand why, a word must be on its way. People leave you and forsake you, a word must be on its way. You ain't connecting anybody in church, a word must be on its way. You reach out, nobody answers your phone call, a word must be on its way. You can't find anything to go on, you can't find your ministry, a word must be on its way. Isolated by hell, but connected and insulated by heaven. There's nothing like understanding that what I'm going through has a purpose. And when you get the revelation that there's purpose in your pain, you can endure any Patmos that hell sends you to, because you understand God always sends a word at Patmos. Let's get a little bit deeper, shall we? And he said, I was there and I was in the Spirit. It's very important, everybody, because see, he said, couldn't just get the word just because I had suffered. Some people like to think because they've gone through stuff, they automatically deserve a word. He said, but there's one other step from suffering that requires you to do to get the word from the Lord. You can't just suffer. You got to learn to get in the Spirit. He said, because you can't hear in the flesh if you're not walking in the Spirit. And so he said, I knew God was about to talk to me, because he wouldn't put me through all that if he wasn't about to talk to me. So I understood I have to get myself in the Spirit. So, man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you've got to force yourself to walk in the Spirit. How do I get in the Spirit? I'll just give you some examples. When you normally would doubt something that the Lord tells you, you believe it instead. You start speaking in faith that God's going to do something in my marriage, and God's going to do something with my child, and God's going to do something with my boss, and God's going to heal my body. And before long, you start trying to walk. Oh, I wish I could get this through to somebody right now. Walking in the Spirit means denying what your flesh is saying. When your flesh says they'll never get right, they'll never pray through, the kid will never hit the altar, you walk in the Spirit by saying, I don't believe that. God told me if I trained up my child in the way that he should go when he was old, he would not depart from it. So I'm going to walk in the Spirit while I'm being exiled in a Patmos and believe that God still has my lost Shatamaha. God has my lost loved one's number right now, and all he has to do is ring their bell. And it doesn't matter what hell they're in, what they're addicted to, who they're hooked up with. I am in a Patmos for a purpose. And something is Shandomahota is coming to my family. And I believe that no matter what I endure, God is going to help me when I get in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? You do the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. When my flesh says, let's not go to church, and you feel nothing, and you get to the house of God, and you're tired, and you don't even feel anything, you're still walking in the Spirit. Sometimes walking in the Spirit is practical, and doing things you just know how to do. And when you do the things you know how to do, God can give you stuff and speak stuff to you he never spoke before. He said, I was sitting there, and I somehow got in the Spirit. If I ever could get this into my own life, I am praying, God, every day, God, I don't want to just tap into the Spirit when I'm in a pulpit. I want to learn to walk in the Spirit. So that way, if I'm in Walmart, you can use me. If someone's walking down the aisle, you can use me. Talk to the clerk. If there's some moment, I wish I could hear somebody help me right now. If I could learn to walk in the Spirit, I could win my coworker. I could win that kid at school. But sometimes we only tap in the Spirit. We step in on Sunday and then we go back home. We step in the Spirit. And then you could feel the Holy Ghost. I don't know, when they were singing that song, you could feel the Holy Ghost. You could feel the Spirit moving. And I just felt like stepping out, because that's what we do when we feel the Spirit moving. We operate in America by feelings. And as soon as I feel something, I step in. But when the lights go off and we lock the door, I step back to the flesh and back into carnality and back into this and back into that. And God said, you're going to hear me, sweetheart. You've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. You've got to learn to, if there's nobody there on Tuesday morning, if your prayer shift is up, go to the house of God and do what you said you would do. If you mark down, you'd come pray. I don't know why I'm on that. Then come and pray and walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is lonely. Walking in the Spirit sometimes will try you. God will make you walk in places you never wanted to walk. Sometimes walking in the Spirit requires tenacity and toughness and braveness and being able to stand with a fire. But you understand, if I walk in the Spirit, I will be flowing in the Spirit, and I can hear the Spirit, and I can move in the Spirit, and I can do the will of God. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But listen to me. When you come to church, do your best to get in the Spirit. Don't come and just sit there and be a spectator and say, I wonder what the preacher's going to do. I wonder who's going to act out today. Don't do that, because that's coming and sitting in the flesh, and you'll never get a miracle in the flesh. You'll never get an answer sitting in the flesh. But when you come, if all you can do is raise a hand, then get that hand up as much as you can. If all you can do is clap those hands, then clap those hands as much as you can. If all you can do is say amen, or say the right words, or stand on your feet, then do what you can do to get in the Spirit. Because when he passes you by, be sensitive, Bartimaeus, to know, hey, there's something different about what I feel. The Lord must be near. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did he do that? He was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit. I don't know how I got there. Some say it's probably from consecration and part from suffering. Part because I'm doing all I can do, and part because I'm just going through it. And if you mix going through it with a prayer life, you mix going through it with reading your Bible. You mix going through it with still paying your tithes. You mix going through it by still being faithful to church. Now you're walking in the Spirit, because you're suffering, but you're still standing. And Paul said, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And then when you're going through it, if you can learn to just be there, you can walk in the Spirit. Anybody can walk in the Spirit when their bank account's full. Everybody at home is living for God and everything is healthy. But the real test of walking in the Spirit is when your kid is backslid, or your wife is not coming to church, or your husband could care less, and yet you still come. When you got pain in your body and it won't go away no matter how many times you pray, you still come to the house of God, because a real child of God will walk through the fire and not be burned. Yes, I'm going through it, but I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking through hell, but I'm walking still. I should have died 5 years ago. Should have broke down 3 months ago. Should have quit last year. But I'm learning to walk in the Spirit by keeping continuing and going forward when I want to stop. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard, you don't hear the voice of God till you get in the Spirit. And I heard a voice sound like a great trumpet. Said, I am Alpha and Omega. Whoa, time out. He goes on to say, after he describes what he sees, because you can't see stuff until you get in the Spirit. I can tell you stories right now of things that have happened that I have seen in my own life, and half of the people would be, oh my Lord, God, you're moving, you're so powerful. And some would say, I don't believe that. Because some walk in the Spirit and some walk in the flesh. Some are so connected to Hollywood that they think this is a stage, that I'm here to entertain them, and we're there to watch like we paid tickets for a movie. And this is, I hate to preach against this, but I care less about Hollywood. I've watched stuff, you watch stuff, but what I'm telling you is, when we're here, this is not a stage for a performance. This is a move of God that's trying to get stirred up, and entertainment's not what I'm here for. I'm here to walk in the Spirit. If I want to watch something, you can go home and flip it on. But if you want to feel something, you got to get involved, baby. You can't feel it if you're not getting involved. If you're there to watch, you can't feel it. I'm not here to watch. I'm here to walk. I'm here to see what the Lord's going to do. And he said, I got in the Spirit, and man, I saw stuff I never thought I'd see. His eyes were like flames of fire. His hair was white like snow. He said, I saw things. His feet looked like they had been through a furnace. Talk about revelation right there. In other words, God walks through fires too. And he said, I saw that and I recognized, but here's what I heard. This is what I came to preach to you. I don't know why I'm preaching this, but he said, this is what I heard. He said, I heard him say that I am Alpha, that's the beginning, and I am Omega, that's the end, the first and the last. Wait a second. And now I'm starting to put two and two together. Two and two are starting to make four. You see, before Patmos, John only had a revelation of God's past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John had a revelation of things that God had done, but had no idea what God could do and what God could be. And so God, to give you a revelation and a word for your future, has to make you go through a Patmos. Anybody can say, well, church has been good. Remember when we had to have that move of God? We used to dance around the altar and get drunk in the spirit. Remember when the power of God was so thick? I remember those services. And you're like saying, this is like John before Patmos. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, God did great things before. We used to have crazy revival where the house was packed out. But to get a word for your future, you've got to go through something you don't want to go through. And you say, whoa, it's not just that he did stuff before, but he's coming back again. And there's things that I had no idea that are coming to my life. And I prayed 3 days in a row, God, don't give me a word that involves rivers past and what they used to be, but I want to walk in the Spirit and proclaim to them what they will be, because I know that you want to get them out of Patmos and into a destination, a purpose, where they realize, I'm not just the God that gave you a revival. I have plans to give you a greater revival, a greater harvest, a greater demonstration, but you've got to get in the Spirit. He went to Patmos. He had things help him. Laying on Jesus' chest. Walking in the tomb. Seeing great things. But after Patmos, he changes the world for me and you. And lets us know that there's coming a day. And the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. In the air. He's coming back on a white horse. And he writes down all these things that we see. And it hits me. You never make a permanent impact on the future of the world till you go through a Patmos. You can want to permanently impact the world. You can want to change your family. You can want to change your destiny. But until you go through Patmos, you never really make your mark. And John said, I went through what I didn't want to go through. But when I went through it, God brought me out. I can hear the words of Job right now. Oh, that I feared was greatly come upon me. That what I was scared about did come at me. What I didn't want to suffer, I had to suffer. But he said, naked came I in this world, and naked shall I depart. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What you gotta say, Job? Though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. I just believe that if I am suffering, there's a reason behind it. Somebody holler, only in Patmos. Oh, things I don't want to go through. Phone calls I don't want to have to listen to. Situations I don't want to deal with. Loved ones I wish would just pray through. I keep being strong when no one else is strong. I keep living it when no one else is living it. I keep believing it if I'm the only one. Why? Because I got something coming in my future. I'm so thankful for what God's done before. But he said, I want to give you something, John. You only know me as the God of the beginning. But I am Alpha and I am Omega. I want to tell you about the future. You know about the past with me, but the future with me is brighter. And I felt the Lord hit me so strong to tell this church last week, let them know, no matter what has walked away and who has left, pillars that you thought were there could only go to a certain level of a ceiling, but I have plans to raise the building higher. And so I had to remove certain people that you thought were holding things up, and I removed them out of the way, because I've got replacements coming that have a higher ceiling than others that were here before. And the ceiling that they have will take you to a dimension in the spirit in this city that you never could be at before. You're going to have connections in the political world in this city very soon. The mayor's going to find out about this church. There are things that are happening right now in Muncie that even some of you are watching me right now because you're challenged right now. But the Spirit is talking and trying to raise river above just the ground. You can't see a river if you're just walking on the ground. You've got to get above it to see how far it really flows. And sometimes you got to raise your vision of what God's going to do in your family and get some faith back right now. The devil's been robbing some of your families for months with faith, taking away every bit of joy and peace and faith that you had. Dare you to say enough is enough. I have been at Patmos and there's a purpose. The Lord is going to talk to me and bring me through this. Let's stand right now. Lady walked up to me last week. Said she heard about church in Florida, had hepatitis, came to the church, got baptized on a Wednesday night, went to the doctor the next day. He said, we've misdiagnosed it. It's not hepatitis, it's AIDS. You're HIV positive. We can't do anything about it. She said, I didn't know what to do. So I went back to church Sunday to get the Holy Ghost Spirit. She said, I went to church. I didn't know how to pray. So I raised my hands and started praying. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. When God filled me with His Spirit, she said, I went to the doctor the next day, took more tests. 3 days later, they called me and said, can you come in? She said, I already know what you're going to say. They said, you can't know what we're going to say. She said, yes, I do. She got there. She walked in there. They said, everything about the AIDS virus has left your body. There's nothing in there at all. Hepatitis is gone. She said, you know what happened? I told them I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. She stepped in the Spirit. And the fear of a lifetime that there was no cure met Jesus. And Jesus said, I got an answer for what the doctors cannot answer. I just need you someone to get in the Spirit. One lady walked up after her and told me, you prayed for me a few months ago. I had cancer. God healed it. She said, remember it came back and you prayed again. I said, yes. She said, when I went to the doctor, it was in my organs. She said, he gave me the report, but he would not tell me where the cancer had spread because he knew I couldn't handle it. She said, I didn't know this at the time, but it had gone from my organs all through my bones, all through my entire body. She said, the doctor said, just read the report and go home and find a place to read it and rest and get around some family when you read the report. She said, I got out of the doctor's office to go read the report, and the Lord spoke to me, walking in the Spirit. And the Lord said, take the report and put it in the Word. She said she opened her Bible, didn't look at the report, put the report in the Bible, because that's all she knew, the Word's the Bible. So she put the report in the Bible, and she went home. A few days later, she said she was getting really tapped in her mind. She started to open up that Bible. The Lord said, keep it in the Word. She said, okay, fine. She put the Bible down. She kept suffering in her mind, thinking she was going to die. She knew it felt worse all over her body, but she kept believing God. And she said, when I came to church, I kept saying, God, it's in your Word. You told me to put it in the Word. I believe it's in your Word. Last week, she went back to the hospital, and they took tests, and every cell of cancer had completely left her entire body. She was completely whole. Watch this. And she said, it hit me. God not only cared enough to heal me, but He cared about my emotional state, because He knew I could not handle knowing it was going to be throughout my bones. So He said, put it with me and let me handle it. And that, my God, when you walk in the Spirit, there's things that you won't have any idea about the enemy had planned to do to you. But God is just holding your hand. I wish someone would feel what I'm feeling right now. I feel like there are angels in here right now. Someone that's been suffering needs to reach out and grab the hand of God right now and say, I don't even know how bad it is, but I'm just going to keep walking in the Spirit. I don't see where I'm going, but I'm going to walk in the Spirit. My family's fighting all kind of sickness and attacks in their body and attacks in their minds, but I want to walk in the Spirit. Altar is open right now. Is there anybody that's going through hell that would be willing to step out of a pew and say, God, enough is enough. Where is my Word?
And you will be blessed. Than you can ask.
Only in Patmos will you hear the Lord say, hey, this is what it's going to be. I am Alpha and Omega. I am first and the last. The one which was, which is, and which is to come. The Almighty. Everything that you need.
And then the rest.
on the music guys right now. Every hand raised. Every hand raised. Every hand raised in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what's going on financially. You know what's going on physically. You know what's going on in every marriage right now in this church. You know the devil has fought with everything. He has sent assassins after marriages lately. He has been attacking left and right. The men are weary. The women are stressed out. I feel a spirit of anxiety. I pray against it right now in the name of the Lord. I feel a spirit of fear and worry about finances and worry about making it and worry. Are we going to last? I bind that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you told me whatever I bound on earth was bound in heaven, and whatever I loosed on earth was loosed in heaven. And I pray, God, all day, would you loose the Holy Ghost right now in this altar on those that are suffering and not telling anybody. They're being strong on the outside, but they're caving on the inside, and they need a word from the Lord that lets them know, don't give up and don't throw in the towel. You're in Patmos, but there's a purpose, and you've got to endure before peace shows up. But if you endure, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I know where your daughter is. I know where your son is. I know where your husband is. I know where your wife is. I know where your parents are. I know where the disease is. I know where the pain is. I know where the fear is. But he's greater than everything attacking you. Somebody, don't wait for 2 o'clock to get a breakthrough. But somebody in the morning hours begin to travail while you're at Patmos. And I don't understand why, but God, I trust you anyway.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, the doctors couldn't figure out what life took away. I pray against the spirit of grief and suffering in the name of the Lord. I'm asking you, God, for an angel to go behind him right now and comfort him, God, in the lonely hours, in the darkness that no one knows about, the tears that fall that nobody sees. You catch those tears right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Hold him, God, right now while he suffers. Is there somebody honest enough to admit, I need to go beyond going through the motions? I need to get emotional once in a while. I need to get sensitive to the spirit once in a while. If I'm really going to see what God has for me, I've got to get in the spirit. Oh, how I long for the river to travail. Oh, how I long for the river to travail. Oh, how I long for the river to travail. Oh, how I long for the river to travail. Oh, how I long for the... That's what I'm hearing in my mind right now. Oh, how I long. Oh, how I long for the river to travail. The Lord is longing for somebody going through it to get back in the spirit. The writer said, this mountain shall become a plain, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The wind bloweth where it listeth, so is everyone that is born of the spirit. I wonder if someone right now would be honest. Something's going on outside these walls, and you don't need a blessing or an answer. You need a miracle. Would you raise your hand right now? If you need an, I'm talking about not an encouragement, not a prophecy with no pregnancy. I'm talking about a word that absolutely changes something, where you see evidence. I want evidence. Is there someone that would raise their hand? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I believe by the power of the Holy Ghost, you told me I had dominion this week over every attack on marriages when I walk through this door. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ against every devil of division and discouragement and strife and contention, first of all, attacking marriages by the authority of the Word of God. I pray for angels with swords drawn to fight every demonic cloud and demonic spirit that's hovering over every bedroom, trying to wait every time the man comes home. There's a brawl. I come against that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I speak healing and life in your home right now. I pray for every lost child by the authority of the Word of God that you would send an angel to break every relationship, break every curse, break every addiction, every stronghold, every spirit of rebellion, every spirit that comes against their mind, every spirit of pride, anything let in the door. God, break it down right now. Melt the walls to their heart. I pray against diabetes right now, every cancer cell and arthritis in the name of Jesus, that you would reach down in somebody's body and make them whole and take away the pain in their feet and in their arms and in their hands and in their knees. I pray in the name of Jesus for deliverance from every addiction, every stronghold, every weakness. I pray in the name of Jesus for God, you'd intervene financially and intervene in the bill situation and make a way out of no way right now. So let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ.
Take your time. These people need this, so take your time. Okay? You come late, you preach one. You're in it. Stay in it. Don't get rushed.
Okay. Here's what I wonder. I wonder if I'm getting to the sufferer yet. I'm wondering, am I getting near your territory yet? Am I getting near your life right now? Is the Lord getting near what you're going through yet? If you can feel Him getting near you and what's going on, can you raise your hands and just not care and not wait till later on? Not wait till the music starts again. But somebody, I pray, if you felt you've got an answer, then go lay hands on somebody right now and begin to pray for somebody. Begin to look for someone to pray for, because the Spirit is looking for needs. And sometimes we've got so much life on top of us that we can't feel the Spirit move. We've got to learn to find where the voice of God is and let Him get back into my heart. Answers that nobody else knows about. Answers, God. Answers in the name. Clarity right now. Clarity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Clarity to see what really is going on. What really is attacking. See, not just the Spirit attacking, but where it was sent from, why it was sent. Open it, God, right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could find somebody going through it in the name of Roshana, and they wouldn't care if I came and prayed for them, and they would just let the Lord help. There's anything.
God, peace right now. Peace against every attack, every stronghold, every fear, every worry, every doubt. Come on, God. Intervene right now. Intervene right now, God. I pray in the name of the Lord. Put your hand on the situation right now, I pray, oh God.
My suffering has a purpose. My suffering has a reason. My suffering has a reason. Do you understand that the Bible said you cannot give the Lord? You can't do more than He's going to do for you. He said, prove me. You can't do that. You can't prove God. You can't try possibly to outgive God. But I promise you, if you're suffering, there's a reason. But you've got to get in the Spirit while you're suffering to see why you're suffering and then realize that there is a way out. And John wrote the book of Revelation, and his death has never been recorded. We don't even know where he died, if he died, when he died, what happened. Why? Because when you step into the presence of God, that's so glorious and so powerful. He said, I fell on my feet as if I was dead. I thought Patmos meant my killing, where I was dying, but I realized it was his presence that Patmos was all about. I didn't even realize what I had gone through. I fell down at his feet as though I was dead. Can anybody get their minds on heaven right now? Can anybody get their mind on heaven right now? There will be no tears there. There will be no cancer there. There will be no death there. There will be no hospital there. There will be no bills there. There will be no stress there. There will be no fear there. There will be no worry there. There will be no panic there. There will be
be no addictions there. There will be no struggles there. There will be no devil there. You will be in the presence of God. And I saw him and I fell at his feet, because Patmos is the presence of the Lord. There will be no suicide. There will be no arthritis. There will be no diabetes. There will be no attacks. There will be no murder. There will be no thieves. There will be no panic phone calls in the middle of the night. There will be no night. But you've got to get in the Spirit. 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 This message is the setup to what God's about to do in this revival. We need this entire church to get in the Spirit, so God can do what he has planned. Miracles are coming. Answers are coming. I don't come with any rebukes. I come with encouragement this time. I come with a word from the Lord that the harvest is waiting. Something's about to break loose in this church. Revival's been trying to bust loose the last few months. It's been trying to birth. I've been trying to birth something. Come on, get in the Spirit. Don't let 10 people be in the Spirit and the rest watching. Come on, get in the Spirit. You get in the Spirit, I can bring the miracle to your family. You get in the Spirit, I can bring the miracle to your house. You get in the Spirit, I can bring the miracle to your marriage. Come on, get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. Answers are coming to those that get in the Spirit. In the name of the Lord. If you don't know what to do, ask God, what do I do? Put me in the Spirit. What do I do, God? Help me to hear your voice. What do I give up? What do I let go of? What do I pursue? What do I get more involved in? What do I do? Let me get in the Spirit. Let me get in the Spirit. Let me get in the Spirit. Heal my heart. Speak life in the name of Jesus. Speak life. I speak life in the name of Jesus. Speak life. God, I asked you all week long. Speak life through me. Speak life through me. Speak life through me to every hopeless cause, every hopeless case. Speak life through me, oh God, please. I plead with you. Speak life through me, oh God. Let me see with the eyes of the Spirit. Let me see the mountain full of chariots and horses of fire, not the enemy surrounding me. Let me see what you see. Let me feel what you feel. Let me hear what you hear. Let me know what you know. Show me, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I am but flesh. I live in the flesh. God, I want to learn to get Spirit somehow, Lord. Somehow. Somehow help. And the Master will ride through with healing on his wings. The Master will ride through with healing on his wings. The Master will ride through with healing on his wings. Healing on his wings. Healing on his wings. He will ride through with healing on his wings. There's something in that right there. There's something there. I know I got to go to Castleton in a minute, but I don't want to even leave this right now. He told me I could stay as long as I felt because I feel the spirit. I feel like the enemy presses us sometimes that we just come to a quick altar call and head out. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we need a little bit of a lingering spirit to get in here right now. Fighting too many devils to get a 3-minute prayer in. And there's something needs to, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm challenging something right now. I'm challenging a devil that tells you just go back and step out of the spirit. A voice that's already pulling someone trying to say, come on, go back home. Time to go home. Time to go home. Time to go home. That spirit, that thing is trying to pull you out of the spirit. The longer you linger in the presence of God, the more you're going to hear. The more you're going to see. The more you're going to feel. Oh, yes. There it is. Spirit. Well, can I ask you a question? If the Lord was coming back this afternoon, this was our last service, would we get in the spirit right now? I bet we would all be in the spirit right now. If this was my last altar call, God, I hope if this is my last altar call that I've given everybody everything I possibly could give. He told him, I'm coming quickly. Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. The last words he heard at Patmos, Revelation 22, verse 20. Surely I come quickly. That's what he heard the Lord say in red writing. Surely I come quickly. And then he said, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Last thing I heard at Patmos was, I'm coming soon. The answer's coming soon. I come quickly. You can't understand a quick word from God till you go through a Patmos. I don't know about you, but lately I've had some answers come to me in the last few weeks, miracles to my own life that have been out of nowhere, miracles that I had prayed for years. For instance, I've been evangelizing 10 years. I have prayed for 10 years for something to open up in California. I haven't had one person call me in 10 years, preaching all over the world. Not one person. I was on a fast a couple months ago, on a long fast. And 3 days before the fast ended, someone called out of nowhere after 10 years. We've been living in an apartment. I've been living in different apartments for the last 10 years while I evangelized. And 2 weeks ago, I got a call about a 4-bedroom house that is there giving to me as soon as this revival ends to rent for the same price I'm renting my apartment. I've been praying for 10 years and all of a sudden answers have been coming. Like these. I'm not trying to brag myself up. I'm just telling you that I tried my best to get in the spirit and stuff that I've been years and years praying for and seeing no kind of answer, no kind of sign, no kind of breakthrough. I've been falling into place left and right. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't help you at all, but I'm telling you right now, I can tell you personally that when I get in the spirit, I get answers. And when I'm out of the spirit, I can't feel any. I have hope. I have desire. I believe. I want to think it happens, but nothing happens. But when I get in the spirit, stuff starts coming. Stuff starts coming. I have made it my mission every morning to arise in prayer and get in the spirit. I have a daily destiny. We always pursue our destiny at the end of our life. What's my destiny, God? What's my destiny? He told me 3 days ago in prayer, your destiny is a daily thing. You have a daily destiny. It's to walk in the spirit every day. It's to fulfill my will every day. You want me to answer those prayers that you pray so desperately, then fulfill your daily destiny. Walk in the spirit. Read your Bible. Be faithful to church. Pay your tithes. Pray when the preacher says pray. Pray when you're by yourself. That's hard to do. No, it's not. It's just walking in the spirit, and it's the most enjoyable thing. If you took my prayer time away from me, you might as well kill me. I don't even want to live. I got a beautiful wife. I got a baby coming, and I love him with all my heart. You take my time and the spirit away. I do not want to be on this planet. It's the most exciting thing about my day. I want to be in the spirit. That needs to get in our hearts. God, get us in the spirit. You enjoy your family 10 times more when you're in the spirit. You enjoy your life 10 times more when you're in the spirit. You're not going through hell all the time. When you get finally in the spirit, your vision changes and you see what's really there with you when you get. Take this. And when you leave, I'm putting it here. I'm not preaching to you. I told you this is the first time I preach this. So when you preach to some for the first time, normally it comes to you, then out of you. It's coming to me, then through me. So I'm taking this. And it's not like I'm preaching to you. I'm feeling God preaching to me right now and trying to put it in my spirit. Come on, walk in the spirit. You don't have to be a preacher to wall my word. If we all think just the preachers walk in the spirit, that's why we pray for years and never see answers. When we learn to all walk in the spirit, things come could never come before. God bless you. If you're not here till Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday in revival, see you then. If you're here this afternoon, see you later on. God bless you.